5. Our friend certainly had fallen into not a few bad habits, especially of late. He had obviously and rapidly deteriorated, and it was true that he had become slovenly. He drank more, and had become more tearful and nervous, and had grown too impressionable on the artistic side. His face had acquired a strange facility for changing with extraordinary quickness from the most solemn expression, for instance, to the most absurd and even foolish. He could not endure solitude, and was always craving for amusement. One had always to repeat to him some gossip, some local anecdote, and every day a new one. If no one came to see him for a long time, he wandered disconsolately about the rooms, walked to the window, puckering up his lips, heaved deep sighs, and almost fell to whimpering at last. He was always full of forebodings, was afraid of something unexpected and inevitable. He had become timorous. He began to pay great attention to his dreams. He spent all that day and evening in great depression. He sent for me, was very much agitated, talked a long while, gave me a long account of things, but all rather disconnected. Varvara Petrovna had known for a long time that he concealed nothing from me. It seemed to me at last that he was worried about something particular, and was perhaps unable to form a definite idea of it himself. As a rule, when we met tête-à-tête, and he began making long complaints to me, a bottle was almost always brought in after a little time, and things became much more comfortable. This time there was no wine, and he was evidently struggling all the while against the desire to send for it. "And why is she always so cross?" he complained every minute like a child. "Tous les hommes de génie et de progrès en Russie étions, sont et seront toujours des gamblers et des drunkards qui boivent in outbreaks. And I'm not such a gambler after all, and I'm not such a drunkard. She reproaches me for not writing anything. Strange idea. She asks why I lie down. She says I ought to stand, an example and reproach. Mais entre nous soit dit, what is a man to do who is destined to stand as a reproach if not to lie down? Does she understand that?" And at last it became clear to me what was the chief particular trouble which was worrying him so persistently at this time. Many times that evening he went to the looking-glass and stood a long while before it. At last he turned from the looking-glass to me, and with a sort of strange despair said, "Mon cher, je suis un broken-down man." Yes, certainly, up to that time, up to that very day, there was one thing only of which he had always felt confident in spite of the new views and of the change in Varvara Petrovna's ideas. That was the conviction that still he had a fascination for her feminine heart, not simply as an exile or a celebrated man of learning, but as a handsome man. For 20 years this soothing and flattering opinion had been rooted in his mind, and perhaps of all his convictions this was the hardest to part with. Had he any presentiment that evening of the colossal ordeal which was preparing for him in the immediate future?